I would like to take a few minutes today to begin the next series of studies that I would like to share with you and to share in with you called Living in Times of Darkness. I believe that we are in a time in this world's history that would be very well classed as times of darkness. The Bible mentions a time when gross darkness would cover the people, and we are living in times equally as bad to the time of Noah and Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Bible has much to say about those living in difficult times, and I'd like to begin a series of studies that will come from some of the narratives of the Old Testament that speak to us about how we can live in New Testament times for the glory of God, despite the darkness around us. So at this time, I invite you to pray with me. Just bow your heads and ask that the Lord would speak this morning through His holy word. Gracious God, we take this moment to petition Your presence, to ask Your blessing upon us. As we open Your word, Father, to consider the occurrences of the past, we believe that those things that have been written for our learning, that we, through hope and patience in the through patience of the Scriptures, Lord, might have hope. And so today, give us that hope, affirm us in our faith, we ask, and may You receive honor and glory through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For many years after King David, the people of God in Israel had suffered a steady spiritual decline. It was an unfortunate circumstance. It was consistent in the time of the northern tribes and occasionally took place in the southern kingdom as well, in which men who did not fear the Lord were placed on the throne as kings to lead the people. And these kings encouraged strange forms of worship. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say strange forms of worship? Idolatry and the rites and practices of heathenism were brought in among the people of God, and there was a general departure from the principles of holiness upon which Israel had been founded. Now, a majority of the people very quickly, due to their leaders having fallen away, very quickly lost sight of their duty to serve the Lord, and the people became consumed by their adoption of the heathen and idolatrous rites and practices in their nation. Now, let's talk about the north. In the northern kingdom of Israel, the situation was severe. You had Jeroboam, the first king of the northern 10 tribes, who led the people into idolatry. Nadab, his son, was evil as well, and only after a few months on the throne was assassinated in a conspiracy by a man named Baasha. Baasha then took the throne and ruled among Elah, Zimri, and Omri in Israel for the next 40 years. And of these kings, each of them, the scripture states that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now in the south, in the nation of Judah, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin formed as one kingdom, even after Solomon's influences, which were to lead the people into idolatry some years before, the kingdom had not recovered. Solomon's son Rehoboam, through ill-informed decisions and policy practices, caused the kingdom to divide, leading to the north and the southern kingdoms. And of the time of Rehoboam's reign, particularly in the south, it is said in Scripture in 1 Kings 14:22, Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. Rehoboam had a son. His name was Abijah. And Abijah followed the same trend. Of him, the Bible says in 1 Kings 15, verse 3, that he walked in all of the sins of his father, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And then in Judah, Asa came to the throne. And he was ruling there in Judah during many of the years of the evil kings in the northern kingdom of Israel. Asa inherited a kingdom in the south. After Solomon, after Rehoboam, after Abijah, a kingdom that was steeped in the ways of the heathen. National apostasy was probably the best description of both kingdoms at that time. And yet Asa determined to be different. He determined somehow that he was not going to live and rule as his forefathers had done. His time leading Judah would be marked with distinctly different policy, different protocol, and by a different spirit. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles with me just now, and let's read the description that God's Word gives of this man as he rose to the throne. We're turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 2 to 5, and we will be here for the length of our message today. So you can open your Bibles and be content that you'll be able to follow along with the scripture that we are studying about this man's life. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and reading now starting in verse 2. The Bible says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He also took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him." Now, I want to add to your hearing the record as of Asa coming to the throne as recorded in 1 Kings 15. Here's what it says. "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron." Now, according to Scripture, in 1 Kings 15, verse 14, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. He set about on a work of reformation and revival among the people of the land. Reformation in that he set to work turning them away from the idols of their neighbors, the idols that the heathen lands were worshiping, and even the idolatry of their forefathers that they had turned to as well. And revival in that he led people back to new experience with the Lord their God. Asa was standing to the call of God as a man of action. Now, I want you to note something, and we just read it. I read it in your hearing from 1 Kings 15. Asa was willing, even willing to do the right thing when it came to his family. Did you catch that? Asa was willing to do the right thing when it came to his family. His father's idols were taken down, and his mother was removed from being queen, and her idol and her grove were destroyed and were burnt. Asa was not afraid of the implications of doing the right thing, even if family were going to be crossed. Somebody should say amen. Asa was a man unafraid to stand for the right, even when his family, mother, father, siblings perhaps, would be crossed. He was most concerned with living in the fear of the Lord. Now, in that time, the Bible says the kingdom was quiet. It was quiet for a period from war of about 10 years, according to verse 1 back in 2 Chronicles 14. So what did the king do during that time? Notice what Asa was doing. If you're there with me again in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I want you to notice what Asa was doing. According to verses 6 to 8, he was diligently working at a time of peace, working to prepare the nation, working to prepare the people physically and spiritually for any possible future test or trial. Let's read those verses. Verses 6 to 8, the Bible says, "And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, let us make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. In the time of peace and rest, Asa was diligent to continue to grow and develop the nation and people. He was preparing for future tests. There is a lesson in this, I believe, for the people of God today. Many of us are living in times of peace, times of rest in our lives. No major catastrophe has come upon us. No calamity has overtaken us. No warfare confronts us. And so what are we doing? How are we living? Are we taking time by the grace of God to prepare ourselves in the Lord for future tests? Are we fortifying our minds with the Word of God, building up the fortifications of the heart, so that in the time of test and trial, we can stand? Are we learning to trust in Jesus, and by doing so, learning how to fight in the warfare that later will come? Are we learning how to stand clothed in the spiritual armor of God and how to effectively use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in battle? In the time of peace, Asa was preparing for times of test. And tested he and Judah would be, the Bible continues telling us about the great test that soon came their way. Let's keep reading now in verse 9. The Bible says, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephtatha in Maresha. And Asa, well, let me pause there for just a moment before we read verse 11. Verse 9 and 10 tell us that he is now facing the test of his reign as the king of Judah. 10 years of peace, 10 years of prosperity and rest. Now he faces a battle in which he is outnumbered. The Ethiopians have come to war with 1 million soldiers and hundreds of chariots. Compare that to the significantly smaller Judean army, which had a combined foot soldier count, as we've already read, of only 580,000. Outnumbered, though, 2-1, Asa did not cower away. He knew that he must stand at that moment as the leader of those people to face the trial. And so he went out and set the battle in array. Now, in this day of trouble, Asa didn't place his trust in the walls and the cities that he had been building. In the time of peace and rest, he really didn't put his trust in the well-trained army that he had going out with him either. The king knew that safety and security were only found in the Lord of hosts, and so Asa decided to trust the Lord. He was aware of the marvelous deliverances that had taken place and had been wrought for Israel of old. He knew the stories of victory under Moses and Joshua, under the judges and under David. He decided to trust the God that he served and cry out at that moment for the Lord's help. But he did not do so frivolously. It was a serious time. Every battle is a serious time. The armies gathered in the valley and faced each other. The day of trouble, the day of test had come to those that served the Lord. And for Asa and the people of Judah, this was not a time of physical war only. They knew that this was a spiritual moment. Every earthly trial, brothers and sisters, every physical obstacle is a spiritual opportunity. And Asa recognized it as so. They considered among themselves and they thought in their hearts, had every sin been confessed? Did the men of Judah who were there on the battle lines, did they possess real faith and trust in the power of Jehovah to deliver them? From a human perspective, the African army would sweep away everything before it. But Asa was leading his people to not see things in the human way. In the times of rest and peace, Asa had not been giving himself to frivolity. He had not been giving himself to self-seeking amusement and pleasure as others might have done. He had been spending his time preparing for an emergency. The army was trained, and he had attempted to ensure that his people were at peace with God when they were at peace from war. Idols had been removed, high places taken down, false worship condemned. And now in the day of trouble, the time of test, Asa and his men, though fewer in number, put their faith in one in whom they knew would be greater than their enemy. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to miss this important point. Having sought the Lord in the days of prosperity, the king and his people could now rely upon the Lord in a day of adversity. Let's read the prayer of Asa, verse 11. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Let's interpret that. God, whether we are many or few, you can do something. It continues, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on the fortifications we have built. Does that what it say? Is that what it says? No. We don't rest upon the fortifications. We don't rest upon the bars. We don't rest upon the walls. We don't rest upon the swords. We don't rest upon the shields. We don't rest upon those that can pull and shoot the bow. What does Asa pray? We rest on you. And in your name, we go out against this multitude. Now notice this last statement. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. Is that what it says? Tell me, brothers and sisters, what does this prayer say? Let not man prevail against you. You see, Asa understood the concept of spiritual warfare. Asa understood that when he faced a physical obstacle, a physical battle, he was not fighting a physical war. He understood that this was something that was spiritual. The prayer of Asa is one that every Christian believer can fittingly offer. He recognized the spiritual nature of the moment. It was a time for reaffirming faith, for acknowledging God's power to save. Consider the concept that he is adopting, he is embracing as he prays this prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In our daily lives, in this conflict that we face, we will meet agencies of evil that have set themselves up against the Lord Jesus Christ, against His truth, against that which is right. In times like that, we place our hope not in man, but in the Lord. We trust in Christ. God assures us that when we are clothed in the armor of righteousness, are you listening this morning? When we are clothed in the armor of righteousness, in Him we can experience the victory over every evil foe. The king's faith was rewarded. Read on in verse 12. The Bible says, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away," that is, Israel did, or Judah rather, "a great amount of spoil." Friends, each and every one of us are going to face days of trouble. Personal crisis in the spiritual life. personal crisis in the physical health, in the home, in the family, in the finances. We're going to face opposition from others who don't like the decisions that we make. All of that's going to come along. The patriarch David faced some of those days, and he cried out to God. We find his prayers in the Psalms. Psalm 3:1, David said, "Lord, how they are increased that trouble me. Many they are that rise up against me." In Psalm 119, verse 3, "The cords of death entangle me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow." Personal crisis. But there are coming upon our world, according to the prophetic word, times of global crisis as well. The Bible says that there will be a time of trouble such as there never has been since there was a nation to that time at the end. Jesus confirmed Daniel's statement in Matthew 24. Days of trouble and trial are ahead of us as well. It's not only Asa, it's not only David that faces a difficult day. They are there and they will be there for us as well. Some of the tests that we yet will face will be the greatest that we have ever faced in our personal lives. They will be some of the greatest tests that we have ever faced in our spiritual lives. They will be some of the greatest tests that we have ever faced in our families. And some of the tests still to come are some of the greatest tests that our world has ever seen. But from the example of Asa, we can remember that in those difficult days, our trust, our hope, our faith can be and must be placed in the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit, through the psalmist, assures us, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he will hide me. He will set me upon a rock." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. "And then call upon me in the day of trouble," God says, "and I will deliver you and you will glorify me." One day there's going to be a multitude stand on a sea of glass in a kingdom of God made new, and they will all have come out of days of trouble. In fact, the Bible says they will have come out of great tribulation. And that is, they have come through it, they have been spared from it, they have been protected in the midst of it and delivered from it by the grace and the power of God because they trusted in Jesus. Revelation 7:4 paints the picture when it says, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Deliverance is secure for those that trust in Jesus. Isn't it good news? My friends and brothers and sisters, today I want to invite you to remember two lessons from our study in God's Word. Number one, there may be many around us in our families, in our workplaces, in our community, and heaven help us, maybe even in our church, who are losing their way. Many who are giving in to the pressures of the evil world. But God can enable us, as He did Asa, to resist their influence and to remain faithful to Christ. In fact, Galatians 1:4 tells us that Jesus died on Calvary's cross that we might be delivered from every evil. And so today, though we have studied the Old Testament, we are pointed to the cross of Jesus. Because Jesus died to provide the deliverance from every evil that you and I need. So let us seek Him. Let us ask for that strength and courage to be able to resist the evil and stand with Him. And number two, God is able to deliver in the day of trouble. If we surrender our lives to His service, we can never be placed in a position for which God has not made a provision. Whatever may be our situation, we will have a guide to direct our way. Whatever our perplexity, we will have a sure counselor. Whatever our sorrow, our bereavement, our loneliness, we will have a sympathizing friend. God will be our refuge and our strength, our pavilion and a rock on which we can stand. For every one of us who have placed our trust in Him. And that trusting, that seeking the Lord, if begun today, before the day of trouble, will prepare and fortify us so that when the day of trouble does come, we already know Him in whom we will trust and to whom we will turn for refuge. Having sought the Lord in the day of prosperity, Asa could rely upon Him in the day of adversity. And it can be the same for you and for me. Dear brothers and sisters, today may God help us to resist the tide of evil and trust fully in our God, who is strong to deliver and mighty to save. Let us pray. Great God in heaven, today we give you ourselves. As we, in many cases, live in a time of prosperity, may we be taking advantage of the power of your grace to be prepared for a day of adversity. May we today stand for Jesus when it is easy, so that when things become more difficult, we are accustomed to trusting you. Bless these your people today and guide us further in our walk with you is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.